Welcome back and happy new year. You are listening to the Black Techies Podcast, where black culture meets the world of technology, or the world of technology. It's one of those things. So, I am David, aka Packet Stealer, and it's been a while. I think the last time we recorded was what, November, but this year is going to be different. And if you've been paying attention to our Facebook page, you know that this year we're going to be adding a lot more content. I have a few interviews lined up. I even have an extra podcast lined up. You'll find out about that a little bit later, as soon as I get the logo for that made. but we got a lot of stuff in store. So for now, we're going into our third year, I want to say. I think this is the third year.
Yes, sir.
3 years going, and I think whenever I upload this to what's the name of that platform we use?
Anchor.
I have to like specify like season, or it won't post right. So I might just start over at like season two, even though it'd be like episode whatever the next one is. Might just say season two.
I'm mad we got like one big giant run on season for like all of our platforms.
Basically.
Like a sentence. You know, that's
No, it wasn't Anchor. Well, we uploaded to Anchor, but then it's iTunes that somehow messes it up when you don't put the season, or it's something like that. But anyways, welcome back to the podcast. I am joined by Mr. Black Tony Stark. Herbert Seward. We got
I'm not dead.
You said what?
Yeah, I'm not dead, but I love y'all 3000 anyway. So, just glad to be back in the new year, you know, energized and ready to do the podcast, even without my armor. So,
you got a young T'Challa, a.k.a. the League of Legends master himself. Yeah, are you over there, Dominic?
Oh, I was muted. I
was about to say, did we lose him already? All right. But definitely not least, we got Roberto. I just like saying it like that. But
everybody does.
I know. And I'm probably horrible, and because I have no ounce of any kind of Latino, Mexican, nothing in me. So actually, wait, I take that back. Yes, I do. So ancestry updated the whole DNA thing.
I'm on Elizabeth Warren.
AKA the Miles Morales of Greenbrier.
Yeah. So for this episode, we're gonna go back to 2019 briefly, not the whole episode, and just kind of do a brief overview of what transpired tech-wise in 2019, and then we'll talk about CES and kind of talk about our favorite things that we saw, or at least read about on CES. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to go this year, but hopefully maybe next year. I don't know. It depends on my day job if they allow me to go. But so 2019, I'll start with Dominique this time. Did you have any favorite tech or anything of 2019? Like, what did you think overall of the year?
Well, it was a kind of a boring tech year for me. I didn't really do a lot. I will say that my two favorite devices ended up being Apple devices, go figure. But the iPad Pro 13-inch is the latest generation. They finally went to USB-C, and it's amazing. And the 11 Pro Max is a phenomenal device. The camera is superb, and very rarely is such an iterative upgrade like actually felt. But like when I was taking pictures of my kids for Christmas, their mom took the same picture, and she was like, you know, I've never seen lights affect the photo so much. And then I took the picture with mine. I was like, I don't even see no lights. Like it's just a really good camera. It's a really good upgrade. And yeah, so go Apple, I guess. I'm not really an Apple guy, so stay out my inbox, Android guys.
What about Herb, how about you?
Stan. I would say, I was excited for a lot of things. You know, seeing Stadia, you know, the problems that offered and seeing the hype and the build up to that. That was, you know, noteworthy for me. But I got to say, in terms of personal tech, for me, that was really eye-opening. It's twofold. One was the Pixel 4. Pixel 4, I'm an Android stan. I'm proud of it. And, you know, the Pixel 4 essentially reinforced that, you know, that hive mind for the collective for Android for me. And I mean, I'm doing this podcast on the Pixel 4 right now, and it's just butter. You know, I mean, the UI, you know, for this version of Android is the best it's ever been. And, you know, it's just really a well-made phone. Not to take anything away from the new Apple 11, because I think that is of equal quality, you know. And I'm kind of hard on Apple sometimes in terms of, you know, not necessarily their operating systems, but their lack of vision in terms of opening up their ecosystem to other things. But, you know, the 11 was really good. You know, I got a chance to test, you know, the test drive. So, you know, it was really good stuff. I think the other thing that really opened my eyes, you know, in terms of what we saw in 2019 was the new commitment to mobile devices and to the Surface family for Microsoft. I mean, that stuff that they debuted later in the year, you know, Microsoft Duo, the new family of Microsoft Surface Tab, Surface products, that stuff looked crazy, really, really good. I'm pretty excited in terms of, you know, seeing Microsoft getting back into the mobile device race, because, you know, anybody, yeah, and in full disclaimer here, I'm one of those stands that had a Microsoft phone back in the day. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed because
I like Windows phones though. Hey.
Yeah, I have
said you know, and four other people.
Hey,
Amen.
I never sometimes, had one, but I actually kind of liked it. I like the UI, and they actually did a few things that Apple and Android didn't do.
Yeah, I was going through my Nokia phase, and sometimes life is about risk. So, yeah, I took that risk. And, you know, paid for it, but that's okay. All jokes aside, you know, Microsoft, the UI itself was smooth. It was really, you know, really promising. Why the only problem is that, you know, the app ecosystem for it was just trash, you know, and that's what killed the first attempt at Microsoft from getting into the mobile market. But this looks promising because they're working hand in hand with Google, which is again surprising to me because they're doing a customized Android OS for this platform. So later on this year we start seeing these devices really in more detail. It's going to be really interesting to see how that presents to the general public. But yeah, I was really excited to see that.
Wait, what was that?
The heck?
Yeah, bad feedback.
Yeah, bro, who's playing, man? It's like
I have on headphones.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's game save for real. Just saying.
It sounds like somebody got this going through their car speakers and they talking through their car speakers too.
Yeah, for real. But yeah.
Anyway,
that's my, you know, those are the two things that stood out to me for this past year. You know, I'm excited for the new year and I'm just, you know, I'm eager to see what is going to come. So.
All right, Mr. Roberto.
Okay, so not a I won't say it was like a bad year for tech for me. I don't think I got anything like major, because usually when something new comes out and I'm like, ooh, I need that. I mean, one thing that's probably super divisive that I saw that I was like, I think I need that, is the Cybertruck.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I will say everybody forgot about it after. It was like, oh, they broke the window. You know, like that was the stupidest thing. They were like, this is the future, but we'll just focus on this window thing. And it looks stupid to me. And I don't understand it.
They did the window thing on purpose.
Yeah. I mean, because they honestly focused on the window more than, you know, the CEO cursing in front of everybody. And just being like, well, here's a thing, because all the other trucks look the same, and that's stupid to me. And, but hey, you guys probably like that. So here's the thing that I made. Now talk about it. And like all the major media outlets were like, I don't know. He broke that window. I don't know if I, you know, if I don't have bulletproof glass, I don't know what I'm going to do. And you're like, well, you don't have that now on your Prius, Karen. So
why is that going to be? Also, Karen, how many times have you been shot at in your car?
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't imagine that, like, the first thing I thought about when I had that, I was like, I could have used that in Grand Theft Auto 5. But, you know, like, that's the only thing I could think about immediately when they showed the bulletproof glass. Cause I was like, that seems ridiculous that I won't need it, but hopefully I won't ever need it. Won't be the dictator of any country that has oil in it, so I should be fine.
okay.
I think that was the one thing that I loved. That I'm very proud of Tesla, by the way, for them saying they wanted their stock to get to like the 420 mark, or 400, I'm sorry, 420 number stuck out to me because pop culture. It was like $480 was like a mark they were trying to hit, and then it's at 500, I think it's up to 600 now, and they're saying that it could be as high as Apple stock in the next couple of years. So, you know, whenever the Leaf, Aurora...
It could be, but it also... He could never actually get a truck off the assembly line, so...
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough part, is because, you know, again, the stock market is just guys shooting craps, but on a much, much higher scale.
Right.
And it's gambles, but... So far, everything that Elon Musk said, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and everybody's like, yeah, right. No one's going to care about your stupid electric car. It's going to be a niche thing. And then Porsche and BMW and Audi and everybody else is trying to catch up, and everything that comes out is compared to the Tesla.
Yeah.
So whenever time it is that, you know, I get...
Yeah, I believe in his ability to make stuff happen. I don't believe in his ability to make stuff happen on his fantastical timeline.
Yeah. And so the thing is, like, he's never... You know, like, he's borrowing a page from the Sunday version of God, you know, where he says, like, you know, he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Mm. Which I always think God is always on time. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, you're like, when is this truck going to come out? When is the SUV, the Model Y, going to come out? The Model 3 is not going to ship properly, and then the Model 3 shipments have been exceeding expectation after a slow start. And, you know, if you put down $100 right now and you get a truck that can, you know, pull a tanker or something, you know, I don't think that's a bad deal. So that's the Cybertruck. That was the one thing that I loved from last year. One other thing I loved was the Note 10 Plus that I'm talking on right now that I did not expect to get. I got because Verizon was being a little too pricey. AT&T gave me a deal I couldn't refuse, and I switched, and I was like... You know, if you're going to give me a Note 10 for cheaper than a Pixel is, then I'll take it. I love it. It's awesome. All the little gestures are very gimmicky with the S Pen. But I love using it anyway. I was just taking pictures of my daughter for her scholarship. I put it in my wife's light box frame thing that she uses for her makeup, and I was taking pictures of it with my S Pen. And I was like, this is the first practical application I could really think of remote picture taking that actually was like not something stupid.
I was wondering if people were going to actually use that feature, but I guess
yeah. I used it when I had the Note 9 when we were in New Orleans. I was extending my hand all the way out to take a picture of everybody in the family, And I was like, oh, I can't hold it and take a picture without dropping this $1,200 phone. Oh, wait a minute, I can just use my pen. And I'm like, everybody's ready, and I took it with the pen, and everybody in my family, literally everyone else but me, has an iPhone. So they were like, oh, you can do that with that thing? And I'm like, yeah, you know.
That's basically a Samsung commercial.
That is it. That's really it. I mean, you know, it's Samsung commercial finds the most random use of the thing, and then it's like, you always want to use this. And I'm like, I've used my S Pen 4 or 5 times. You know, but when I used it, I was like, that's dope. You know, like, you can skip tracks with it, whatever, you know, but it was cool.
You can do PowerPoint presentations with it?
Yeah, you know, if you wanted to, which I don't, wondering in that commercial, I'm like, you guys don't have office computers? Greg, I see you up there doing the presentation, but you didn't bring the Samsung, and you hooked it up. And the Dex thing, I hooked that to my laptop to charge it. I didn't think about it, and then it installed the thing, and I was like, oh, what's this? So that's cool. But I probably won't ever use that, but cool. You know, like, you can use your Samsung as a laptop. If you don't have a laptop, just hook it up to a laptop. You're like, but I already have a laptop. Why would I need this? It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure somebody else is going to be like, well, actually, Roberto, you have 12 gigs of RAM in your phone. You can, I don't want to. And the last thing that I think my favorite thing that came out last year that really hasn't come out, but it will come out, is 8K TV. And I know everybody's going to be like, I love it because that means that the 4K OLEDs will be cheaper. Because some idiot is going to pay for, and yes, you're an idiot if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm buying one right now. You're an idiot. I was selling 1080p TVs at Circuit City in 2007, and people were like, this will never take off. I was selling 4K TVs as a Sony rep in BrandSmart and Best Buy in 2012, and people were like, well, this is a terrible idea. Who's going to buy this? No one's. You can't tell the difference. I mean, if you ever wanted to watch, like, that's the only good thing about After Earth, was that it looked good. Sorry, Will. It sucked. So.
You don't like Will Smith and his British accent?
Was it supposed to be? I fell asleep standing up when I was watching it. So
yeah, that was kind of trash.
But Avatar in 4K 3D sells TVs. But no, like, I love
that
when
Spider-Man movie used to sell them for me.
Yeah,
that was Spider-Man. Back in the 1080p days. That was right when Blu-ray first got introduced. Selling TVs.
Even if you throw Spider-Man 3 on, somebody will still be like, "Wow, that's detailed. That dancing is terrible in high fidelity." But, I mean, it's anytime something new comes out, and I'm a big AV tech nerd, you know, like, obviously, I'm telling you, I worked for Sony, I worked for Best Buy, I worked for Circuit City. You know, like, I love this stuff. I'm sitting in my room full of tech, like, AV tech stuff. One day, you know what, I should do a video of all the stuff I have in my room. But those are, like, my big things for that, and it's all very selfish, very personal things that I liked because it's for me. And somebody's like, well, that wasn't really the best tech. Like, we didn't ask you that, nerd. We asked, what was your favorite thing? Or, like, the best thing is debatable. You know, like, your favorite thing is for that. And again, LG, y'all tripping for, like, a 55-inch 4K LED is, like, $8,000 almost at last year's point. This year, if you want that same thing, you get a 65 for probably $3,000, and you can thank the people that are going to start buying those 8K TVs and giving them $20,000 for you to be able to get a $3,000 OLED TV. So thank you, Bleeding Edge supporting guys. I love you. I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah, I mean, we need those people. We need those people with more money than sense, because they justify the technology existing. Because there is kind of come a point in time where it's going to be like, all right, guys, you're just making that up. There's no such thing as 752p. They're just going to start debunking. Because I don't know. I think the human eye is only capable of, there's only a little bit more definition that we're even going to be able to see. I was told back when I was selling TVs that until the screen gets to a certain size, you can't differentiate from 720 to 1080. So but now we're selling, we got 4K 15-inch screens. So it's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, most phones now are 4K or better, and, you know, it's Netflix. You can watch some 4K stuff Netflix on your phone if you wanted to.
I'm just waiting for the Minority Report hologram style TV to show up.
Yeah. You know what? The other thing I forgot about was the roll up TV, roll out TV.
They debuted that last year, but yeah, it's a bigger deal this year. And I will say about CES, not to cut you off, but I will say that the good thing is, like, all this stuff is like ideas. All these things are like, wouldn't it be cool if kind of things? And it is. It is cool if. But I think that the cool thing that I think we're starting to see, and I think it's going to be led by Tesla breaking forth. Like, the Cybertruck is the first thing I've seen in a very long time that looks like the future.
Yep.
And everything else, like, hopefully, even if Cybertruck doesn't take off because the price point or their ability to push them out or whatever isn't, like, it doesn't work, hopefully the Cybertruck at least gets us to a point where other people are like, well, maybe we don't have to make everything look like a Nissan Altima. Because I don't know if y'all have been paying attention, everything looks like a Nissan Altima now. So, you know, hopefully it'll just get people to push boundaries, and hopefully that will bleed over into other things. We don't have to be married to all these form factors that because we've been married. You know, people that invest are typically antsy to invest into things that aren't proven, but I'm just hoping that these next couple years are years of change and difference, because it hasn't been feeling like I got the same phone in my pocket for the last 3 years. It's felt like that, and there's a couple times where you're like, oh, this is cooler than what my last phone could do, but for the most part it's like, that's the same thing. It's the same thing. It feels the same in my pocket. You can't tell my brain that that's not an iPhone 10 in my pocket.
Yeah, I mean, really, I always tell the people this. Go back and watch the unveiling of the iPhone, the original iPhone, where they had all the Treos and all the Palm Pilots and all the Blackberries on the screen, and then they put the iPhone up there, and everybody was like, what's this bar of soap going to do? Like, there's no buttons on it. What am I supposed to do with it? Like, that changed things, and we haven't, I mean, the Windows Duo, which I didn't say because someone else already called it, so I'm not going to do it. But, like, the Galaxy Fold, even the overpriced Motorola Razr, like, that's somebody's trying. Is it a great idea right now? Not right now. It's like, you know, whoever was the first guy to be like, hey, try this peanut butter and chocolate. Somebody's like, shut up. But now it's a great idea. You know, you just got to tweak things.
Actually, I think that kind of leads into the theme that I think was 2019. That was kind of like expectations, or managing expectations, or how to, I don't know. You had a lot of things that came out last year, and there was like hype for them, like Stadia or even the Galaxy Fold. And did they fulfill the hype ever? Maybe not. But you saw the potential, though, and that was the thing. It's like, you saw like, all right, this might not be a thing in 2019, but in 2020, you know, there might be something there. And I think that especially once the free version of Stadia comes out, you might see a lot more traction in that. And once xCloud actually comes out of beta, and I need to write up some of my impressions on that, because I'm in the beta program, so I've been using it a little bit. But so I think even on the other side, like, you had the Pixel 4, and like Herb kind of alluded to it, but the Pixel 4 came out, and like, it's a great phone. I have one, obviously. I have one, but because other phones either made a gigantic leap from the previous year, like the iPhone did, or they were just, they have more features for a lower price, like OnePlus, it kind of put the Pixel 4 in this weird, like, position where it was too expensive for what it has, but it was still a great phone. So it, like, if Google would have priced it maybe $100 cheaper, then people might not have complained as much. But I think 2019 was all about managing expectations, which kind of leads us into the next subject, CES, and like our expectations for this year and the future. And I think Dominique said it, like, CES, honestly, most of what you see at CES ain't gonna come out, or it's gonna come out like way down the line.
4 years later, yeah.
Right. So, but that said, it's a really fun event to go to, especially if you know where to go. And if you're listening to this and you want to go to CES, number one, you can't go unless you're either a member of the media or like you have some way, some connection to the consumer electronics, whatever. So, but if you are able to go, make sure you plan, like plan ahead. Like CES is split into like different venues around the strip, around the Las Vegas strip. So you got to plan where you're going to go because it's huge. And you're probably going to get sick. So like bring some like Tylenol or something. So that said, what were some things, actually, what time is it? What was one or two things that you saw that kind of stuck out you? And Ashley, in fact, I think I'll go first this time. I would say the thing I saw, so I'm a PC gamer. I'm primarily a PC gamer, and I built my own PC last March, and it was great. I had fun building it, but I'm also lazy. So Razer, as you know, so Intel came out with their latest NUC. It's like a miniaturized PC thingy, but they made it in like the form of a PCI like card, so you could like slide it into like a motherboard or something. And so so they made like this miniature NUC thing, and then Razer, they make like laptops and gaming mice and all that kind of stuff. They came out with like an actual gaming PC based on the Intel NUC. It's called the Tomahawk, and it's like a modular gaming PC. So all you do is you get the Intel NUC, you plug it in there, you get a graphics card, you plug it into the other side, and bam, you're done. No cable management, no nothing. It's like dead simple. And if you're one of those people who you want to get into PC gaming, but you don't really, maybe you're kind of scared to try to pick out all the parts, or you don't really feel like trying to figure out how to put it together, or you're scared of making a mistake, or you know, in any of that, or you're just lazy like me, you can just get this. Now it's Razer is like super expensive, so I totally expect this to cost like $3,000, but and I'm probably not gonna get it. I know my wife, but
she's like, nope.
Right. But
what does he do differently than the last thing we spend money on?
Well, I try to make sure that all my expensive purchases are somewhat justified. but I mean, I think I like the concept though, and I like what Intel is doing with the whole modular gaming thing. So yeah, I think that's probably my I mean, there are other things too, but for the sake of time, I'll just leave it at that. So I'll kick it over to Herb this time.
Well, I think the one thing that I got a chance to actually see, you know, from my brief examination of what was going on at CES this year, one thing that really kind of stood out to me, let's see, was this Patriot SSD.
Boom, Patriots. Sorry.
yeah, force of habit. I get it. It's essentially a solid-state drive that offers practically unlimited storage. It's got a capacity of 4 terabytes and a SATA 3 interface. And, I mean, it's... Unless it's going to be really groundbreaking in terms of speed and in terms of how it's applied to gaming, you know, it looked like a pretty interesting concept. The fact that it's 4 terabytes and it's an internal hard drive that is like, you know, an SSD that's 4 terabytes, I'm wondering how much it's going to be. Plus the hard drive is designed to really run with more high intensive chips like the AMD's chip, you know, the high end processors that they have, and it's, you know, designed to accommodate overclocking and a lot of stuff. So that kind of caught my eye. That and Huawei the Huawei Mate X.
You better pronounce Huawei.
My bad. Huawei. My bad. Yeah, the Mate X. And anybody that's followed Huawei, my bad, knows that, you know, in terms of the folding concept, those guys have kind of been on the cutting edge, you know, outside of the United States. Of course, you know, our orange tangerine POTUS.
Your boss?
Not my boss, bro. I'm a contractor. Yeah, bro. No federally membership here. I'm a contractor. But yeah, essentially, you know, our manufactured trade war is essentially, you know, we really didn't get a chance to see a lot of what they had to offer in the past year. And now that they've kind of come to an agreement, CES was just kind of a taste of what we might see out of manufacturers like Huawei and some others. So, you know, those two items for me kind of stood out.
So, not like a piece of tech, but I did follow pretty closely the Quibi and their lack of an app. So, not to be a Debbie Downer, but I expected to see some version of a working form. I really believe in it. When I say really believe, I don't really believe in what they want to do as far as, like, the bite-sized media, but I've been wrong before. Who would have thought TikTok would be a thing that I could mess around and spend 2 hours doing? And I have. So, but the thing I'm most excited about is that 50 Cent and I can't remember the other person that's working on it with him, but that black superhero show that's coming to Quibi, I don't care what they're charging. They're going to get it from me.
Which reminds me, we need to talk about Cannon Busters eventually. But I go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's just Quibi. Quibi, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if I believe him, but if it's executed properly, you know, they're actually making like TVs that rotate so that it's better for vertical media. And that's like a thing that I never thought would be a thing. So
only Samsung. So wait, so just a side note on that note. All right, y'all, it's 2020. So in 2020, we're going to promise that whenever we take videos with our smartphones, we're going to hold them horizontally. We're going to hold them in landscape mode. We're not going to do portrait videos. Please do not do portrait videos. But that's just a little side rant. Go ahead.
You know we're going to have to put that disclaimer out group, right? For real.
Can you guys stop doing that? It's just like,
please. Also, stop using your flash on your phone. It's a flashlight. That's what it's made for. If you got a iPhone 6, go ahead, keep using your flash and do better with your life. But if you out here with an iPhone X or higher, or a Galaxy Note 8 or higher, and you still rocking the flash on your pictures, you're doing the wrong thing with your life.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, if are you done so I can jump
in? Yeah, I'm
done.
Yeah, you got it.
All right. I think AV stuff, love it. I think it was interesting to see TCL is making some soundbars, which usually I'd be like, oh, you know, but interesting. It's supposed to, like, perfectly match their TVs. They're supposed to also have Dolby Atmos, for which most soundbars that have Dolby Atmos are at least $700. But supposedly TCL is going to be able to do it for $400, so we'll see what goes on with that. Of course, the Fisker, the Ocean SUV, and also, I know they did the tank turn with the Rivian truck before CES happened, but I forgot to mention that. It was one of the best things I've ever seen, is like the truck do the, have we all seen that? I think I posted that to the group, where the Rivian pickup truck, it looks like a traditional pickup truck, electric truck, but it did the tank turn is what it's called, where it can rotate 360 degrees on its own axis.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's super cool to me. Like, that, they're like, well, that's not really futuristic, which CS 2020 kind of seemed like it was going there. I mean, with the Charmin had a robot that brings you toilet paper. Hyundai and Uber are working on, like, helicopter taxis. And there's a bunch of stuff there. But, I mean, I think that was another thing I liked. And, of course, we're doing this whole trend now where every year you can expect around springtime, whatever flagship phone that came out last year or whatever, they're going to have a budget version of that. So I think the I saw a couple of pictures of the Note and the Galaxy S10 Lite and Note 10 Lite. So we'll see about that. Again, the Samsung 8K TV. Thank you again, Samsung, for making a big splash about it. Because Samsung, I don't know what's... You know, they do a lot of stuff. And this is me as a Sony rep, trying not to be biased. But the best thing about Samsung TVs is never the picture. It's always everything else that it does. You know, you can play Angry Birds with your hand. Or, like, it may be when you get up to go pee, it pauses the TV for you. You know, whatever kind of, like, gimmicks or whatever they throw into TVs. But I appreciate Samsung for always saying, this thing can use more cup holders, or maybe we'll just throw a flux capacitor in the back of this, you know, headphone. And, you know, maybe that'll be what people buy it for. So I liked a lot of stuff that came out in CES, and it was hard for me to narrow it down, but I really think that watching traditional budget brands kind of push the envelope, like the TCLs, the Vizios, and having the newcomers like make great new tech, and also having futuristic weird stuff like Samsung's like Bali robot that rolls around, the Charmin robot that brings you toilet paper, you know, August making better Wi-Fi, you know, like anything that brings us to the point where we're like, oh, that's different, because that's what CES was always like. It's crazy, like going to the Geneva Auto Show and seeing cars with two V8 engines or something. Like, that was always crazy stuff that we're supposed to look at that stuff and make it at some point, but at least have it at the show and say, this is where we can go, and we'll probably pull some pieces off of this and actually use it. But really, a lot of this is just going to be for show, because a TV that rolls out of your ceiling and turns into a TV, or rolls out of a TV stand and turns into a TV, like, that's a brilliant idea. And that's possible with OLED. It was never possible before, but, like, that's super cool stuff that I think doesn't get enough credit, because I think too many people are, when there's a new iPhone, all they want it to do is be, like, slightly bigger and have a better camera and a longer-lasting battery, and that's it, and they'll buy it. And I think we're stagnating in that point, because, like, again, the Cybertruck came out, everybody's like, I don't like it because I don't like a regular truck. Like, okay. At what point do we jump from an F-150 to the craft we had in Tron? Like, when do we make that leap? When do we do it? If we're not going to just... Somebody has to do it first. And I'm just glad that, you know, we have crazy people like Elon Musk and Branson and ballsy guys that are willing to just kind of go for it.
Well, I'm just good. I mean, I'm good with that as long as, like, you know, Skynet doesn't come online in the process. You know,
too late.
I mean, that's basically what Elon is afraid of. You know, he's all anti AI and all this.
Yeah,
but he has self-driving cars.
The irony is that Teslas are known for their autopilot.
yeah, autopilot watching us like, yeah, son. That's weird.
Meanwhile, the Alexa's in the background laughing.
Yeah. Mr. Burns style. Right.
Yeah.
So I will say, before, I got to add one more thing. So, like, Alienware made, like, this Nintendo Switch. So basically what they did was they packed, like, a little mini PC inside of a little handheld Switch-like thingy. It even has, like, Joy-Con thingies. Like, you can take it off and put it back on, and it has a kickstand. Like, it's literally just like a Switch, but better and more powerful. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it is a little bit bigger, but I like the concept. And I mean, like the GPU, and I think it uses the integrated Intel GPU. So I mean, it's not like that powerful. But if you're trying to play like Rocket League or like the less, or even, you know, Fortnite, you know, those kinds of games on the go without having to buy a Switch, or I don't know, you want to play like a PC level, or you want better graphics or whatever. I don't know. I could see someone doing this. I don't know. It looks kind of ridiculous, but it looks cool at the same time. But so before we go, I want to ask you all, like, what is, for like 2020, like, what is like one piece of tech or one thing you're kind of looking forward to for this year?
Anyone? That's a good question. Well, more information about the next generation of PlayStation and Microsoft consoles.
Yay!
Stan. Yeah, there you go.
All right.
I mean, obviously, you know, everybody's going to be eager to see, you know, what these next gen consoles are going to look like, you know, how they're going to, you know, advance gaming forward, and whether or not it's going to have an impact on folks that aren't really console fans. And that is, you know, that there are a number of storylines that, you know, in gaming that are going to kind of take the headlines as the year progresses. But that's one of the ones I'm eager to see, because, you know, we've already, you know, seen the hype start behind both. You know, I mean, we're talking about really, really high-powered console systems that are supposed to rival, you know, PC gaming in terms of customizing, being able to be customized and the like. So it's, like I said, it's really going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I think that the thing I'm most excited about, Herb stole mine, so I'm just going to say technology I'm most excited about next to the next Xbox is whatever technology they use to keep the Russians off our elections.
Really?
Whatever. I don't know what that's called. Anti-Putin election machines. It's not sexy, but it's important. Without it, I don't think CES 2021 is going to happen.
Nope.
So, I mean, it's pretty important, but. I don't know. I mean, I think since more people are hip to it, they might not try the same things. Who knows? Maybe they're dumb. I don't know. But
well, they know they can get away with it now. Once they, well, we did all the investigations. We were like, hey, yeah, they did it. And we were like, oh, yeah, I guess they did it. That sucks sometimes if people do stuff. Bye.
Mm-hmm. They was like, why wouldn't you do it? Beast like that.
I don't know why you wouldn't do it. I would steal the election. Listen, I'm not playing no games. If you told me it was a button I could go press to guarantee that whoever the Democratic nominee, or like I could get Barack Obama back in the White House, I'm gonna push that button. I'll let karma deal with me and my ethics. But yeah, I get it. They're cheating because they're allowed to. So they're playing the game by the rules that they set. And, you know, it is what it is. It's not a political podcast.
So I'll say, like, at least for me, though, I mean, you all kind of hinted with it with the Xbox, but I think that if anything, this is the year of Microsoft. I think that Microsoft is the one that's gonna really try to hit it out the park, especially in the fall and winter, because that's when the Surface Neo comes out, that's when the Surface Duo comes out, that's when the Xbox Series X comes out, and whatever like other consoles that might have coming out. So I think that this is going to be their year. So hopefully, and I'm personally interested in the Surface Duo, and I'm,
yes, sir.
If it's any good, I'm probably going to buy it. I already know that. Just the whole concept of folding phones is really interesting to me, and I think that's probably the innovation that we kind of needed in phones. So I'm hoping that it is pretty good. Now, hopefully it's not too expensive like the Galaxy Fold. But if it's at least, you know, I can deal with, you know, $1,200, okay, I can stomach that as long as I can pay it, you know, with a payment plan. but I think Microsoft has a lot going on with the, especially with the Xbox, as you all kind of pointed out. So I'm really interested in how they integrate, you know, how they try to push gaming forward. I mean, I'm hearing that this thing is going to be like at least as powerful as like an RTX 2070 or something like that. So, or, you know, well, maybe, I don't know. But I think Microsoft is gonna, it's gonna be Microsoft's year, so we'll see what happens.
Hey man, quick side note. As we're doing this podcast, I'm looking down at our interface window, and I'm looking at Dominic's icon, and I'm just cracking up just looking at his icon. You know, Hotep Skeletor. Dominic, that's really,
the Hotepery.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just
you know, that you, dude, that's just, like the I voice I always hear when someone says that.
it made my day. It made my day so much when I saw it that I had to make him a profile picture.
That's a good look, Dom. That's a good look.
Appreciate it.
Continue. There you go.
I think that Roberto was next, or was he?
Yeah, it's just Roberto left. Favorite tech of 2020?
Sure.
Well, the thing I'm looking forward to the most, and I think, the Galaxy Bloom is coming out this year, which is supposed to be like Samsung's $800 foldable phone. So maybe they learned how to not make it $2,000. I'm not sure what the iterative process was that they were like, oh, just stop using the diamonds for the hinges. They're like, oh, we can just use regular aluminum? Like, yes. Oh, great. And that's what the trick was. I'm not sure.
Instead of shiny platinum back, they're using like they're using some less precious metal.
Yeah, like
I mean,
it's crazy to me. You know, like phone tech is always cool, and again, I would like for them to just not throw more cameras on the same thing and just do something different. And again, I understand that's what sells phones. I mean, the Slophy for the iPhones would probably sell more phones than them actually being like, hey, well, guess what we've done? We've made it to where your phone actually recharges your gas tank some kind of... They're like, I don't care. How many... Can I do slow motion selfies on this one too? Or can I make a small animated version of myself? No, I don't want it. You know, like that's what sells phones
these days.
That's what sells phones, and I get it. You know, like they're not really worried about actual technological leaps. They're worried about like, how can I make somebody pay me $1,400 for the thing they paid me $700 for last year? Well, not actually giving them $700 more of value.
Hey, that's you know, the tech world.
Well, that might be debatable because one could argue that there is a lot of value in the thing that they give us, and it is better. Like if you think about it, phones, the first smartphone was $500-$600. You mean to tell me that if you could take a $1,200 iPhone XS back to 2005, they wouldn't have gave you all the money, all of the king's jewels for that phone? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much
better. I mean, as long as we can take the internet back there too, because I mean, like, 2G.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I get mad when my phone slipped to 3G. I'm like, ugh, what is this ghetto?
What am I, a peasant?
Yeah, I'm like, what are we doing here? What is this, communist China? You know, like, right. So I don't want to do it. I think that's a big thing for tech is just like, I think convenience everybody is going to be like, no smart home anything. But a lot of that smart home stuff looks pretty darn cool from CES, and
I think nerds are all with it. Like we know, like we've already signed up. Like we already know if they want to listen to us, they can listen to us. We got the mics in our pocket, so I don't think more mics means more giving up of privacy. I think there's the onus is going to be on us to read some of the things we're allowing things to do, and then decide whether or not we want that thing to do that in that room. Whatever that thing is that you're doing that you might not want other people to know you're doing, I don't care if it's chopping up bodies or making babies, you can decide that you don't want that to happen in a room with microphones in it, and you can keep the microphones out of that room, but you can't. I mean, leave your phone on the charger in the kitchen, right? Because your phone in the room, they can listen if they want to. But who's trying to listen to you and what you're doing in your stupid house and with your stupid kids, with your stupid oatmeal cream pie? You sneaking your oatmeal cream pie at 1:31. You think the government is interested in your oatmeal cream pie? They're not.
Not unless you didn't pay taxes on that oatmeal cream pie, then you in trouble.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. No, you gotta pay taxes no more. Not in Donald Trump's America. Y'all paying taxes? Y'all so corny out here paying taxes. My president don't pay taxes. I ain't paying no taxes.
And like they flag this podcast.
Demonetized.
Yeah.
Okay, look. As long as y'all don't listen to it, I mean. You know, you can listen to the podcast, FBI agent, you know, just tell your friends at least.
Like and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter.
Actually, on that note.
Ring that bell.
That's what we're going to do in 2020. We're going to subscribe to the podcast if we're not already subscribed, and we're going to leave a review on iTunes so that our podcast can grow and learn and from our mistakes and all of that. So along with... Along with not doing portrait videos, we're going to send in reviews for the podcast and tell our friends and family about it. All right.
Listen, it's tens of y'all. There are tens of y'all out here listening to us. And if the tens of y'all would just get one other person and say, hey, man, check this out. Hilarious. Man, your brother's talking about something. Then it'll be like 11s of y'all. So, you know, each one teach one. Reach one. Preach one.
Teamwork.
You know what it is.
Teamwork make the dream work.
Yeah.
Knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. You know what it is.
All right. On top of that, follow us on Twitter at The Black Techies. Join our little band of people. Actually, we have, let's see, as far as our Facebook page, we have like 445 likes, I think. And our Facebook group, the Black Techies Collective, actually has a decent number of people there. We're not like a rinky-dink group with only like 10 people. We actually have a respectable amount of people. Now, and if all those people could listen to the podcast, that would be great.
We're two people short of 200, and I know where those two people went, because they got zipped from the group. One dude, that's that lone dude that was trying to shop his podcast, you know, and just trying to.
Which, by the way, we're not out here trying to monopolize podcasts. There's enough room for all of us, but be respectful with the way that you try to don't market in our group without running it by the admins. And like, you know, if you got something to talk about, we can't just put our stamp on everything. We ain't got the listenership to afford you in here talking about the tech of Hitler and the KKK. Like, we can't afford for that to be your podcast. Real, so
yeah,
well that yeah, and the, yeah. You know,
let me listen to it first.
Right, that, let me hear it.
Yeah, that and the dude that pulled a Don Imus on Dom. You know, that can
that Dom dude. All right. I mean, no, he said Herb. I like Dave.
Dom sucks.
Yeah,
he's
like, Dom is the worst.
I don't think y'all are ever gonna let him live that down.
Nope. Yeah, I mean, honestly, on the side note, just on that dude, just, I mean, reading that day in the group was not only hilarious, but it just, I mean, you could just picture the voice of the worst hater you could probably imagine in your encounters. That's what popped into my head, you know, reading that. And it's just like, wow, this dude's a hater. He's a real hater.
It's all right. I didn't take no offense by it. Yeah. I appreciate all feedback, good and bad, but actually feedback. Like, don't just say no stupid stuff like that. Like, say that and say, hey, it'd be cool if you didn't make so much, if you didn't make light of such heavy things. Like, I love Donald Trump. You know what I mean? Like, why do you always talk about him? Like, you know what I mean? Say something helpful so I can know whether to block you or to just ignore it, you know?
I think that's what it was, low key, for real, man. I mean, I mean,
we talked, he said that literally. He said, me suggesting the candidate is like election tampering or ballot something. He said, I said, well, whatever, I'm tampering then. You can call it what you want to.
Well, I'm glad I didn't hear it. I would have zipped him earlier. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't because I don't have a, anything that I say, honestly, would get us demonetized immediately. Because everything I have to say is all filth, filth when it comes to other people.
You get me out there, Roberto. You get me out there. Filth, filth.
Yeah. Like, well, tell Bill I said have Coke and a smile. And shit. Let me not do that. But real quick, thank you for everybody in the collective. You know, everybody always comments. Like, Mr. John Yates is always like, that phone's less than $1,000 is trash.
Now here's a little bit of
Will, George, Misty, everybody, Suave, all y'all.
Now here's a little bit of background about one of our favorite posters, John. John Gates, we go kind of way back. He used to work with us at the Joint as contractors at the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the Pentagon.
G 14 classified. You know, we were right with the men in black.
Yeah, I can't talk about that. Yeah, no comment. But, yeah, you know, John has always been a tech head, and he's always been a what I like to call a bougie tech head.
A bougie. Because
he's got a little bit of a snobbish streak when it comes to tech, and he has no problem showing it in the group. Any chance he gets, which is absolutely comical and really makes topics really, really, really fun to engage in. So, yeah, shout out to you, John. You know, just because we like, you know, we don't like paying, you know, in the blood of our children for tech. You know, yeah. But, you know, but it's members like that make the podcast and, you know, maintaining that community really, really fun. So that's, you know, to John, my boy Joe, and a lot of other cats that have joined the group that I don't know personally, you guys, you know, just keep following us and sticking with us, man. We'll continue to put out content.
Or you can pay us.
Well, on that note.
Even more content.
Yep.
On that note, we will see you all.
Wait, man, I'm slipping.
Yeah. I'm slipping.
We haven't done the podcast in a minute.
I know, man. Yeah, I know it's been a look. It's the new year. Charge it to my head.
Yeah, I'm charging to the head, and all it is that I just want. We can't send the people off without letting them know with a message of inspiration, a message of hope. Yes, we can. You know, everybody go out this week and be better this week than you were last week. All y'all that have already broken your 2020 resolutions, you shouldn't have set resolutions anyway. Resolutions start every day. So it's okay. You had like 12, 13 days of good greatness, and now you can go ahead and start that over and have a February 2020 resolution. It is what it is. Everybody be better. Everybody love somebody, help somebody, and just every day you go to sleep, every day you wake up after going to sleep, know that you're closer and closer to Dave and Herb's boss not being y'all friends.
Bro,
this is the Black Techies. This is the Black Techies. Good night. Good night. Man,
look at here, man. Dude, I don't have orange fruit for bosses, bro. I just don't.
Man, listen, you gonna mess around, he gonna hear you, he gonna go, Herbert, can I speak with you for a minute?
Well, that's the thing. That's the joy of being a contractor.
You said some very, very bad things. Very bad. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm the president. So. I will not tolerate your misbehavior.
What?
I will not tolerate your misbehavior.
And we lost all of our Bible Belt viewers just now.
Hey, all three of y'all.
Well, you know what I got to say to that, to the prez? Squirrel! Just go ahead, Joe. And there you go. And that's the end of the conversation. Squirrel!
All right, so I think we can officially end the podcast.
But
if this is any indication of the future, I think it's going to be a very interesting year. So if you would like more witty banter like this, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. And yeah, so you can hear more. Now, on a serious note, though, I mean, we do have a lot of...
We can only get better with y'all liking and subscribing.
True. And, like, we have one of our future episodes is going to deal with music and technology. And so I've invited a bunch of HBCU band directors and associates
to be
on, including Herb, our wonderful band maestro himself. I mean, he went to Alabama State, but, you know, I'm not going to hold that against him. But
hater. Are y'all going to have Nick Cannon on that episode?
Bruh. There you go.
But yeah, tune in for that one. That's going to be sometime in February, so be sure you're subscribed so you don't miss out on that episode. But yeah, so until next time, I got to say, Hail Wakanda.
Wakanda forever!
Hail Wakanda.